be here. It's like, we already know, it's kind of like church, you know, 3 days a week.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Maybe everybody's just like Wynn, moving a little slower than they should.
I'm still in my car. Dude, I'm still in my car driving home from work. I put my phone into my stereo in the car, and I just called you guys up. It's like my hands-free kit.
In my
What?
I'm sorry, go ahead. And might be celebrating Mark
Day. Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that today. That's why I couldn't do my service call. Okay. They were celebrating MLK. That's right.
Yeah, Dave, you're just a little too late. You missed Heist playing Knocking on Heaven's Door again.
That's funny. You know, there's a song from Pat Benatar. It's called All Fired Up. I don't know if you guys ever heard it, but the lyrics kind of talk about, I got to feel the kick inside and all fired up. You'll know when it happens and, you know, when it's the right time. It's kind of like a spiritual song. It's a rockin' tune, but the lyrics are real spiritual. And I thought it was, if you look up the lyrics All Fired Up, you'll see what I'm talking about. For Pat Benatar. Huh?
I said, I'll check into that. I think you're on speakerphone because it's sounding back over your phone. Dave? Are you driving?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that better?
It's in Mesa. I mean, in, yeah? Where are you? Mesa.
I'm in Mesa now. I just pulled in.
Well, that's amazing you talked about that song in Benatar. Didn't she do, who did Turn Around Bright Eyes and We Belong to the Father? Those are also kind of...
Turn around bright eyes. That wasn't Pat Benatar. I have the record somewhere. I'll get back with you on that one, Dave.
Okay.
I just don't.
What about
off.
We Belong?
Okay.
Yeah.
Good evening. Welcome to the BBS Corp. Please say your name and location.
This is Dwayne.
Dwayne, good evening. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dwayne. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. You've got Dave in stereo tonight.
Well, you guys are technically in stereo right now.
I mean, that's the way it sounds to you?
No, it's just monoed out through four speakers.
The
phone itself doesn't separate the voice in the four channels. It just kind of monos in the four speakers.
I want to welcome the person who just joined in. Please say your name and location. Who's in? Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And somebody else showed up. Evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Valerie in Half
Moon
Bay, California.
Hi, Valerie. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Bye. Good to be here.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Hey, Valerie, there was a thing on the news last night about all the high surf in Half Moon Bay.
Oh, did they have
Maverick? It was like a satellite view of the high surf.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they showed people surfing, but they said to be careful because it was really severe on how high it was.
Yeah, they saw it coming. There was supposed to be a big surf competition last weekend.
I didn't hear if it happened. Yeah, I thought about you, and they said Half Moon Bay. Oh, yeah, Valerie lives up there.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
Yeah.
So we are live on BBS Radio, and I want to welcome those who have joined in early on BBS. Still 4 minutes till the hour, and let's see if Vin has the email out yet. Yes, the email is out. 5:53.
Did you say you were checking to see if it was out?
Yes, he sent it at 5:53.
Oh, it's funny, it hasn't arrived at my station yet. That's what happens when you live in the middle of nowhere.
I guess so.
Well,
good evening. Please say your name and location. Well, welcome to the call. You don't have to, you can stay in the background. Yes.
but I'm going to meet myself out. So thanks for talking for a bit.
All right. Thanks for being here.
Hi, hi.
Hi, Wynn. Thank you for being here, man.
I thought I'm not showing up, but I figured you might panic.
No panic on my side, but I...
You're getting good enough that you wouldn't panic.
I wouldn't panic. It wouldn't be a very interesting call if I...
I don't know about that. I think there's more to you that meets the eye. Hang on. I'm going to log in on my other line as well.
Right. We had somebody else join in. Welcome to the call, please.
Hello, Marilyn.
Marilyn. Hi, you, Marilyn.
Hello.
Hi, Morgan in California.
Morgan. Good evening, Morgan. Welcome to the call.
Same to you. Be well.
All right.
Okay.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, good evening. Joel from Chicago.
Hi, Joel. Welcome. How are you?
Thank you, sir. I'm doing well.
Hi. Yes, Wynn.
Am I clear now?
That's a big echo.
Wait a second. That's because I got both lines.
I mean, a hollow sound.
Yeah. Is this better?
Say something.
Testing 1-2, 1-2.
No, it remained the same.
Still a hollow sound, right?
Hollow sound, yes.
Well, leave it as my backup, okay?
Yeah.
This is not the Skype line. This is the Uma line.
Okay, see that?
I'll be back.
From Los Angeles.
It's from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Good evening, and welcome to the call.
Thank you. Hello, hi. This is caller number 15, Francis, calling from California.
Hey, Francis. You keep on sounding younger. What's happening with you, Francis?
I just got through with an acupuncture treatment.
Right.
Hey,
hi,
this is
Ray.
Kathy from Rocco.
Hi.
Kathy.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Hi, Wayne.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Oh, it's Teddy. Hi, Teddy. And we had more people join in. If you want to do so, feel free to say your name and location.
Yeah, Michael.
Hi, Michael. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Hey, man. I'm doing fine.
All right.
Do I hear Teddy Hernandez on the call?
I can't hear him. I thought he was here.
Do we hear Daphne?
Daphne's here.
Hi, Daphne.
Hi,
Daphne.
Hi, Jerry. Are you there?
Good evening and welcome to the call. Please see the location.
Hi, this is Don.
Hi, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
All right.
And people joined in. Please say your name and location.
Peggy, Mount Vernon, New York.
Steve. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Steve from Flagstaff.
Hi, Steve. How are you doing? Good evening, Rock to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, hi, this is Ron in Afro.
Hey, Ron, how you doing, man?
Is Terry there, hi?
Not yet, no.
Oh, my God. Let me go see what she's doing. I'll be right back, and we're going to start quickly.
Good evening. Your name and location. Well, I welcome you all. We are live on BBS. It's actually past the hour. We're lining up, getting lined up. If you're here and you have not announced yourself, feel free to do so. Who is this from Seattle?
Meryl.
Hi, Meryl. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you. And we had somebody else join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello.
I'm gonna mute everybody. Actually, I'm gonna leave you on mute. I'll ask some questions. Hang on. Here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay. This is January 21st. 2013. And Don, turn off our music. Hello, Don.
Yeah, I got it, man. Oh, you got it.
But did you turn it off? Did you mute him?
He didn't. He noticed you.
He did. Thank you, Don. We love you.
Duck.
Honor, Duck. You know, BBS has two twins that run it, or one twin.
And the dad, big fan of Donald Duck, so that's why he called him Don and Duck.
Don and Doug, thank you. Thank you, guys. As you're rehearsing, right, for your debut. This is, as I said, January 21st, 2013. And my name is Winfrey. And, you know, I announced tonight we were going to do a talk on reincarnation. You know, it's a good thing we never run out of topics. God, I can't believe it. If I had to think of doing this three times a week and keeping people interested, I'd say it was impossible. And now I see it's not impossible. In fact, it's quite amazing. And I'm going to open the lines a second. I want to just take a poll of those of you who are on the phone lines. And just a moment. Hang on. You hear all that noise coming? Do we have our peanut butter cruncher out there?
I hear the peanut butter cruncher, but it's not me.
Let's see.
How do you know it's peanut butter?
Well,
it's a gift.
Planner Crunchy, Terry.
Are you
Planner Crunchy?
Are they?
What's your pick, crunchy or creamy?
Country or creamy? We're doing peanut butter.
Chunky or creamy?
I want to ask the question: how many of you are sure reincarnation is real?
Irrefutable.
Yes.
Of course. All right. How many of you have any memory or recollection or confirmation of a past life?
Yes.
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 No.
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 How about some of you that have a recollection? Are you willing to share your recollection and how it came to you? Keep it not too long. Like maybe 2 or 3 minutes. Anyone
sure.
Want to do that?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'll tell you what. I'm going to mute everybody, and if you're one of those people that want to share, do a *6. Okay.
All right. I'm one of those people.
Okay.
Is that David?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Go ahead, David. We're on.
I saw, it was like watching a videotape backwards. I saw myself being, dying of an injury that I suffered. I guess, I was in battle fighting for my daughter's honor. It looked like it took place during the 1400s by the straw thatch roof that I saw. And I kept looking down at myself, and I was kind of blurring between the way I look like now and the way I look like then. Just kind of flickering back and forth. And I was wearing like, it looked like a metallic, kind of like a knight's armor, but something similar to what the Romans would wear, something like that. And I had blood running down my right leg.
Okay, and remembering that incident, did it relate to anything you go through this lifetime? Like, in other words, do you have pain in that area? Sometimes people do. If they had some kind of painful event in another lifetime, particularly when they died,
that they have some kind of pain in the same place? Anything that you can put together that bleeds through from that lifetime?
There's a birthmark there.
There is? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Who else wants to share?
This is Meryl.
Meryl Woodward?
Yeah.
Hi, Meryl.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Mine's related to place. When I was in high school, I became obsessed with New England. I grew up in California, and I was obsessed with it until my 40s when I was finally able to move back there. And I found about 7 places that I recognized. I recognized that I had been daily attending a cemetery in Boston, and unfortunately they had moved the bodies around, so I couldn't tell whom it was I had been visiting, but I knew which corner I had gone to daily. I recognized a pub in Gettysburg. I recognized John Greenleaf Whittier's home when I toured it in New Hampshire, I believe. And about 3 or 4 other places were really powerful. And then when I went to the South, I was just eating in a restaurant one day, and I had a vision of this really shabby house. And there was a grandmother, and the mother and the son came to visit her, and none of them seemed to feel that the house needed cleaning or the yard needed trimming or anything. They were just totally okay with it, and it had such a good feeling to it. And then the last thing is, sometimes when I'm walking in a forest, I feel like I was an Indian scout, and that's a really, mm-hmm. really good feeling also.
Now, when you saw Gettysburg, that was Lincoln, right? Gettysburg Address? What did that have to do with that?
I guess so. It had to do with the Civil War, I believe.
Yeah.
But I went into this tavern, which is a restaurant also, and when I went downstairs, I remembered being there.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. And so you just remember the places. You don't remember
right.
what you were.
Right.
You don't remember what you were, but you kind of had a deja vu with all those places.
Right. Except for the Indian,
right?
I kind of did remember what I was.
Okay. Were you remember anything you did in the Indian life? Were you a warrior?
No, but I was a male. All I know, I was a scout, and I would
You're
lead
a scout.
People. I would lead people through the forest.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And who else? Who else on there has something they want to share? Star 6. That's it.
My name is Roger. I'm in Austin, Texas.
Hi, Roger.
Yeah, I have an experience when I was in the Air Force. I had an assignment where I was in Turkey, and I got to visit some old Crusader castles from the Crusades. And I had visited, these places were totally unsupervised. They were not supervised by the government of Turkey or anything, so they were just out there. They're ruins out in the middle of the countryside. I visited a couple of places, these castles, and I knew I had been there before. I knew the layout of the structures. I knew where the barracks were and where the keep was and all that stuff. And I was amazed about all this. And then later on, a few years later, I had the opportunity to visit Scotland. And I had this incredible feeling like I was home again. And you know what it feels like when you come home again, when you've been away a long time, and you come home again. And so...
Some of us don't have some of us don't have that feeling yet.
Well, you know, it was amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah,
I don't know what else I can tell you about it, but I had that incredible feeling. And so I and I've also been attracted to that that period of the history. Right after the Dark Ages, when, you know, the Crusades took place and all that stuff, and I came to the conclusion I must have been a participant in all that City. So it just has a special attraction for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else before we cut you? Okay.
Well, I remember my past lives.
I was afraid you were going to say that. If Terry talks, we're going to use the whole hour.
It's like continuous, you know? I mean, the last life, in between lives, everything.
Terry is amazing because it's almost like she continues and kind of has a memory pretty good. Now, you know, one of the things that's interesting about you, Terry, at least as I get it, is that you went from a lot of lifetimes to a lot of lifetimes in the astral, and you didn't really go into the higher realms and get renewed. Is that correct?
In between lives, right, yeah. I didn't go back to the higher realms to get renewed. I just would stay in the astral and then come back.
And that's probably one of the reasons you can remember your lives so well. But some of them go really far back, right? I mean,
very, very far back.
Terry remembers being on a spaceship commander. She remembers her last life where her husband's mistress knifed her and killed her and threw her in the ocean. And that's been like one of her biggest issues this life, subconsciously. I mean, this is the way it works. I've watched this and seen that so often a pattern which seems like you, it seems like it's how you feel, and yet it is not you, but it's something that you put into your matrix from another lifetime. And it's like you don't necessarily have to know the events of the lifetime, but you can start looking at unusual belief patterns you have, and oftentimes you can reverse engineer it, because can I talk about that lifetime, Terry? I can talk about it. We've talked about it before, right? Where you were knifed?
Yeah. Okay.
Is that going to trigger you?
Well, probably.
Probably. All right. Is it, well, I mean, basically, I'll make it short, that she was involved with this guy that ended up having another a mistress, and they got into an altercation in the kitchen, and the woman stabbed Terry, and that, you know, this lifetime, she has this pain on her left shoulder blade in the back. She's getting a lot better, but she's had it, and not knowing where it came from, and she has, I say that she's shy, but in fact, you know, there's this aspect where she has stepped out the past and gotten big trouble. Like, I think another lifetime that she remembers. And you know what? I'm not saying these lifetimes are real. When did you, but I think they were, but when did you remember that lifetime where you were stabbed in your past lifetime?
I think that I started to remember it in my 40s, in this lifetime. I just I had certain symptoms, but I didn't know where they came from. And then little snippets of memory started coming back, pictures and
visuals, right?
Yeah, little snippets. And it's like all of my life, like I spent one lifetime as a seamstress designing beautiful dresses for the Queen of France.
Mm-hmm.
I lived a long time in that lifetime. And this lifetime, when I would go to sleep and close my eyes, I would just see all these beautiful dresses. And I just loved to close my eyes and see those beautiful, beautiful dresses. And I would have dreams sometimes where I would be walking up three flights of stairs to in Paris, France, to my little room at the top of the third story. And I'd go by pastry, and then I'd sit on the landing going back up the stairs, and I'd eat the pastry. And it's like I'd dream that over and over, that dream.
Mm-hmm. Daphne, are you there?
I am here, yes.
Yeah. Do you want to confess to any past life memories that you've had? You want me to? Should I bring them up or not?
Do I want to confess?
Not confess. Not the word confess.
Which one are you thinking
about? Well, I'm thinking of that one in Egypt. Any others that you want to, that you remember that we didn't even discuss? Yes, you have discussed it. You thought you were in Russia. You were in Egypt. Any others?
Kind of like what Terry was saying. I mean, I have had really strong flashes and really strong kind of deja vu. You can talk about the Egyptian connection part, and I think it ties into the Russian one as well. Sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well. I think, you know, when I look at these things, and of course, I tend to be a skeptic, and you know, if Terry had told me 15 years ago what she just said now, I would have said, she's making it up. How do you know? You're just fantasizing. Because there's not evidence to it. I mean, other than memories. And for me, it's tougher than that. And I had my first experience with a validated, you know, pretty strong validation on a past life when a number of years ago, there was someone that did a reading on me. And this is when I was traveling all over the country playing music and playing at coffee houses and colleges and whatever. And I didn't know how to stay in one place. I was on the East Coast, the West Coast. It was really easy for me to just go anywhere and be anywhere. And I would always create a scene. And so someone did a reading on me, and they said that I was a troubadour in a past life. They said 1,000 years ago, and they said that I was duplicating the patterns of that lifetime. And then they went on to tell me this whole story of what happened to me in that lifetime, where they said I would go from town to town and I would carry news. The troubadours were like the people that would carry the news from one place to another. And if I was accepted by the Lord in a particular town, if I was accepted, I would get a piece of royal material, and I would wear that material, and that would become like a credit card in the town. And, you know, I'd go into the bars, and they'd give me free drinks. Women would throw themselves at me. And in fact, it seemed like it was an honor if I happened to write a love song for a woman. That would be a point of great celebration. And so I did this, going from town to town, and it was not so different than this lifetime. When I was traveling, I didn't have swatches of material, but I used to wear, you know, hippie kind of clothes, colorful clothes. I mean, and
then he told me that I had an attraction to this lady-in-waiting in one of the towns, and that lady-in-waiting was my girlfriend at the time. And then I couldn't get the lord of that town to give me his approval. And I really tried to get his approval, and I would tell him stories about what was happening in some of the neighboring towns, and I was stretching the truth. And I still couldn't get his approval. So I made an arrangement to have a secret rendezvous with this woman at an inn on the outskirts of town. And as I was going to that inn, there were two groups of soldiers, one from the town where I was lying and the other one from the town that I was lying about. And they met and they caught me in the lies. And they decided to teach me a lesson. And they stripped me of all of my swatches of material, my credit cards. And I was very humiliated. And I thought they were going to kill me. And I went back into the inn, and the innkeeper was this very proper guy who then was poisoned me because I embarrassed him on his inn, bringing this thing down. And maybe there was more to it because it seems like a pretty good penalty for something like that. But nonetheless, this is the story the guy told me, that he poisoned me. And then he told me that innkeeper was my father this lifetime, and that my sister was his daughter, and my mother was his wife. And then he told me that I chose to have him as a father because he owed me a life. And there's a little more to this. He owed me a life, and that I could, how can I say it? I could play that card and get an incarnation through him. Well, as he was telling me this story, now, keep in mind, I'm fairly skeptical. I'm saying, is this true? Is this true? Could he be telling me the truth? How do I know this is my past life? I mean, I started thinking about the people. I thought about the woman who was a lady-in-waiting, who, when I met her, I had an incredible desire to be with her. And we actually lived together for about 3 or 4 years in Venice, in California. And then I thought about my father, and I was starting to review it. And some of you have heard me say how unloved I felt as a kid, how rejected by my father. And I started to think, well, here's this guy that he killed coming back into his life, and he wouldn't be that happy to see me, would he? And my mother was always defending me when I was a kid. And then we had this incident, I think I was like 15 years old, where my mother put some food on the table, and I said I wasn't going to eat it. And my father had this reaction, and he stuffed the food down my throat. And I was thinking, maybe that was a reenactment of being poisoned. I had reason to think it was, because I went on rebellion against my family at the time, and it became a huge issue for years. And the thing that really closed the deal, the thing that closed the deal was, I remembered a song that I wrote. And I remember when I wrote the song in Berkeley, and, you know, I was writing songs, and it was like a stream of consciousness song. And when I finished it, I said, where the hell did this come from? It was actually written in a Baroque English motif. And the lyrics told the same story that this guy told me, the same images. way too close for it to be coincidence. I might be, let me see if I can remember the lyrics. In the corners of time are the ladies who wait. Remember, this is a lady in waiting, with their sleek silver smiles polished on. On the edges of time are the poets who watch and freeze their sleek smiles into rhyme. From my window, I watch all the players in their square and all the players in the court and position my players to their squares. My red king lies begging at the mercy of his knight while the bishop swallows all his prayers. Steaming at the wayside, my jeering crowd looks on and cries for the color of his blood. And in the depths of her bedroom, tears fall from my queen. She knows her king will never be again. Now, what they did is when I was going to, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I was going to have a rendezvous with this lady-in-waiting at the inn, and they locked her in her bedroom so she couldn't get to it. And finally, in the beginning, I waited for the end, but a voice beckons me from my games, and I wait for the signal from my master who sits beneath granite walls to open my day. And I remember thinking that sound, even when I wrote the song, I was thinking that sounded like reincarnation. Well, there were just too many parallels. The Baroque melody, the lady in waiting, the jeering crowd, the queen locked in her bedroom, and the end of a life. And I had no idea when I wrote it how it all went together, what it meant. It was like a haunting story. And I said, that has to be more than coincidence that that occurred. And then that was a pretty good indication that that he was right. And it was the first time I actually said, reincarnation must be real. That must be the way it works. And then another incident was this Egyptian thing, which Daphne and I apparently knew each other in Egypt. And the way this realization came to me, you know, in our channelings, very rarely, the only time I can ever remember them being completely forthright when there was a question asked about reincarnation is when they addressed Terry and said, look up St. Catherine of Siena. Otherwise, even when we do readings for people, people say, can you tell me about my past lives? They're reticent to do it. And I can see why, because most people will not take that information in the right way. Some people use it as an ego trip. Some people limit themselves if they've done something in a past life. And but in my case,
what's interesting about the information about Terry is that information did not come through Terry.
Came through you.
Information came through me.
Right.
And I didn't
right.
know Terry at that time. In fact, I'm not even sure. Maybe I had met her once.
Mm-hmm.
And
You had to meet her when we were first together, and we were living in Pomona. Terry came over to that little apartment because I wanted somebody to witness you bringing through these messages.
Right, but you know, and, I think the only time I had met Terry previous to giving you that information was when we had all had dinner together in Pasadena.
No, but you had to give me that information after you left.
I gave that information to you when we were still living in Ganesha Hills. I remember the evening.
No, you didn't.
I do. I remember very distinctly.
Oh, this is one of those things. I have the date. So if you want, look it
okay,
up.
Well, I think I remember that I was in Ganesha Hills when I gave you that information.
keep in mind that Terry wasn't channeling at that time. You gave me that information after Terry started channeling, okay? I am sure of it, okay? Not before. And it did come out of the blue. I didn't ask for it, but it came out. And I think they wanted Terry to validate herself at the time, and which it did, because when we were originally doing this, we were all saying to ourselves, well, we must be missing something. This can't be real. And, of course, when they said, look up St. Catherine, you probably have all seen the picture. If you haven't, go to the website and look it up. There's a, one of the links is Terry St. Catherine. When they said, look up St. Catherine, there was the story of this woman who used to go to a Catholic church in, I think, 1400 A.D., and they'd write down everything she said because they thought God was speaking to them through her. And they told me, look up Terry. And, of course, Terry was the spinning image of that woman. And if you go read St. Catherine's Dialogues with God, which are still available, you find a lot of very wise and inspiring stuff, not so different than the kind of stuff that we put out here, except it was had to be under a very strict Christian Jesus format because it wouldn't have been accepted otherwise. But a good portion of it was where they were actually trying, they were being very critical of the priests at the time who were corrupted and how they were worried about their money and their job more than their spiritual work. So that was a remarkable thing. But I was going to go back to Egypt here, and I wanted to share how that came about. And this was really interesting. And it was when Daphne was first starting to bring messages in, probably in the first couple of months. And I asked, I said, I know I have exist in other dimensions, and could you give me some information on how to connect with the other dimensions? And they said, write down your dreams, and that will help you connect. Well, that night I put a pad by my bed, and I kept waking up in the middle of the night and writing down whatever was in my head. And by the way, some of you might try this. It's not going to work for everyone. Some of you might get this to work for you. In the morning, I looked at the pad, and I don't remember anything I wrote, and I was expecting to find dreams. And instead of finding dreams, I found messages, like somebody was talking to me. And it said things like, it's the insanity of passion that makes things happen in the real world. You have to look tall and thin. What's another one? Through your dedication to love, serve, and care, the negativity goes away. And basically, at that time, I couldn't in my wildest dreams believe that I'm doing what we're doing here. I was like very much in my contracted human space, and I was thinking, why are they talking to me? What is this about? And it was, you know, like a science fiction movie. Well, in any case, I'm getting these messages. Oh, then it said communication from another dimension, just like Casey. He slept to connect with this dimension. So every night for the next few days, I was getting messages like this. And finally, I went and I asked Daphne. We did a session. I did a session with Daphne. Someday I'm going to put all these old sessions up because we do have them, and they're fascinating. And I said, where are my dream messages coming from? And they said, Akhenaten. And I said, and Ra? And they said, under the auspices of Ra. And I said, did I know Akhenaten? And they said, you were his right-hand man. And I said, what was my name? And they said, Amenhotep. Now, some of you may not know who Akhenaten was. Sometimes he's called the heretic pharaoh of Egypt. Sometime around 1300 A.D., well, Egypt, as many of you know, had all these gods and goddesses, Osiris, Isis, blah, 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 I can't remember them all. And, you know, it's like they were having these gods that they were paying homage to for thousands of years. And now there's this Egyptian pharaoh that announces that he's outlawing all the worship of these gods, and that there's only one god, and he called it Aten. And he was married to a woman by the name of Nefertiti, which I'm sure you all heard about. And at the beginning of his pharaohship, historically speaking, Nefertiti was considered his co-regent. They operated really tightly, and he would do public appearances, and she would appear with him, which apparently was very unusual for a pharaoh who would have a harem, and women were considered lesser than, and yet this pharaoh would be very open and affectionate with his wife in public. Now, they said, this pharaoh was talking to me. As I studied Carlo Ruckert's raw material, which I was doing at that point, Carlo Ruckert's material said the Ra group was in communication with this pharaoh, with his Akhenaten. And I said, well, that's really interesting. The Ra group was communicating with him. And then I started, then I asked them in the channeling, this one channeling we did, I said, so did I know Akhenaten? And they said, you were his right-hand man. And I said, what was my name? And they said, Amenhotep. So now I went on the internet and I Googled the word Amenhotep because I wanted to see where I showed up. Well, what I found out was Amenhotep was the name of Akhenaten before he changed his name. And Amun was the name of the chief of all the lower god forms, negative god forms, that were running Egypt. Same negative god forms that are connected to the Illuminati and to, you know, the negative groups today. And Akhenaten changed his name from Amenhotep to Akhenaten because he didn't want to have any homage to the Amun god form. By the way, if you look in Christianity, you'll see that a lot of homage is still paid to that Amun god form, because how do Christian prayers end? Amen. Amen is another way of spelling Amun. So I asked myself, as I was researching this, I said, why would Akhenaten's right-hand man have the name Amenhotep when that was the name that he denied himself? And plus, it seemed like Amenhotep was the name for the pharaohs that went through Amenhotep 1, 2, 3, 4, and Akhenaten was Amenhotep 4. Well, this became a puzzle. I didn't know the answer. It was a puzzle that I was trying to figure out. And then I was researching Egypt and kept looking in that period, and there's that famous statue of Nefertiti. I'm sure you've probably seen it. And when I saw that statue, I said, man, this looks a little bit like Daphne. And I really got curious at that point. I started to think maybe Akhenaten's right-hand man was having an affair with his wife or something. I was trying to put the pieces together. Finally, I found the book called My Son Akhenaten, which was a channeled book from Akhenaten's mother and talking to somebody. And it told the whole story of Akhenaten and Nefertiti and what happened and how Nefertiti for the first few years, was very close to Akhenaten, and then she got annoyed because she thought he was destroying the heritage of Egypt, and she left him. And then at one point, with Daphne in Ventura, you know, some of you know Daphne has gone through a lot of negative attacks. Some of you don't understand it, but it was hard to explain how intense they were. She would shake. She would not be able to formulate her words. It was like her brain was disconnected to her mouth. She would lay in bed for days, and in between, she would tell me they want to talk to you again. And I'm keeping track record of all of this stuff. Well, we were in Ventura, and we had we had a visit with Barry Morrow, who was the guy that was interested in doing a movie on my story, who wrote The Rain Man. And we had left him, and Daphne was freaking out totally. And we checked into a motel, and, you know, at that time she would say, why don't we do a session and see what those guys can help with what's going on with me. And so we did a session, and I was shocked at what came through Daphne, because a voice started out saying, I am she, I am Nefertiti, I am, and it went on to talk about this whole period of Akhenaten. And later on I said, how could that be? If Daphne was Nefertiti, how could that voice come through? And they said it was the soul fragments of each lifetime exist in the field forever, and that it was the soul fragment of Nefertiti trying to communicate. And basically, Daphne didn't even remember that. Recently, I sent her a transcription of it, and she said, I said that? That came from me? Because, you know, at that point, I knew it was real. I knew she was Nefertiti and that I was Akhenaten. And it just, all the pieces fit. But she didn't want to believe it. She said, I think you're making it up. How do I know that's real? And, we've had really some amazing additional validations of that, which I'll share one of them with you. By the way, if you're connecting with this story, I did a workshop a few years ago called The Egyptian Connection. It's a 4-hour workshop, and I go into great detail in that workshop. It was a very emotional workshop for me about that period of Egypt and all the things that I uncovered in it. And I was also cross-referencing many things with the raw material from Carla Ruckert. And it's probably the reason why when Daphne and I met this lifetime, we had such a strong impetus to connect. And Daphne, do you want to say anything about that? That particular, the memory of all that stuff?
The memory of the Nefertiti material coming through, or meeting you, or which part?
Anything you want to say that will help people, will be important to other people. Because this is a fascinating story. It's an unusual validation of a past life that actually is famous, and people have heard about it, and influenced this planet in a big way. Many people, You know, Akhenaten was declaring one religion, and, or one God, and he was eventually disappeared, and his followers were massacred by the priesthood, by the lower priesthood, and everything he did was destroyed, and he had built a city, he built his own city, and moved all his followers to it, and then they destroyed the city. And there was no record.
Akhenaten, yeah.
There was so, no record of
this
where.
This is very interesting stuff. And I'll tell you, it's the timing of this is very interesting because I just connected a few days ago with a friend who I connected with her back in 2009 when I was living still up in Alaska. And Michael Jackson had just passed to the other side. It was June the 25th of 2009. And Carrie and Wynn were living in Los Angeles, and they were very close to Staples, to the center where actually Michael had been performing and doing his rehearsals for This Is It, for the series of concerts he was going to give in, I think it was in the UK. And I think Wynn mentioned to me that Michael had started coming through Terry. And I thought, now that's interesting, because I had been at the store, and for some reason the whole thing around Michael Jackson had been the tabloids were kind of pulling to me, too, and I'm not a tabloid person at all. It was a little bit weird. And so for a few days I really, really resisted it, and then the energies became overwhelming, and it was like, Michael Jackson was in my space 24/7, and the energy would not go away until I started communicating with him.
Hello, Daphne.
Yes.
Why don't you let me see, it's 7:49, we have about 7 minutes. Why don't you let Terry share what happened to her briefly when that whole thing with Michael Jackson occurred, okay?
Sure.
And you know, from my point of view, I want to share... I didn't believe it was Michael Jackson. This is, again, like being in my science fiction movie, saying this
I just want to make one brief point or connection before I give it over to Terry, and that is that the information coming through this friend of mine in Australia was that Michael was Tutankhamun. Now,
mm-hmm.
Now Tutankhamun was not Nefertiti's son, but supposedly, according to some accounts, Tutankhamun was Akhenaten's son.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was a small girl, when I was 10 years old, I was absolutely obsessed with anything Egyptian. I mean, obsessed to the point of making my mother go and procure books that were out of print. She had to get special order them from England, and people thought that she was like a PhD student, and she's like, no, I'm getting them for my 10-year-old daughter. And I was drawing Tutankhamun's death mask. I would sit for hours and draw this death mask. And so the fact that this was coming through, it was odd, to say the least. And you know, I can share more about what happened in Ventura, but go ahead and give it over to Terry.
Yeah, let me just say that because Daphne's friend said Michael Jackson was Tutankhamun, that doesn't mean it's true. And just because the voice that came through Terry said it was Michael Jackson doesn't mean it was true. But after a few weeks, I became sure it was true. And I'll tell you what convinced me. But go ahead, Terry. Just share. We got about 4 minutes.
So,
within the story.
We were, Wynn and I were going to be doing a channeling, and he was somewhere else, and we were taping it. And we were starting to do the channeling, and I could not bring the sources in. I could not bring Ra on in. And I kept getting the same vision of it, like this scary picture. And so finally I just said, and Wynn has this on tape recording because we were going to tape the channeling. Find that I just said, let it come in. We'll see what the scary thing is that wants to come in. And it was pictures from Thriller. And then I said, just let that come in and we'll take a look. And then behind it, there was Michael Jackson, and he was absolutely furious because he was ready to do his tour. He was ready to go, and he didn't want to be dead. He was like, I'm ready to go. I've got my dancers. And then this the coroner people at one point came in to review his body. And he said, I've got to go because maybe there's something that they can do to fix me. So that, and he was just hoping against all hopes that they would bring him back to life because he said, I've got to keep my promise to these people, to this tour. I've got to show my kids what I can do. And it was amazing. It was just totally amazing.
Just to say, I was like thinking to myself, is this really Michael Jackson? So then I asked them, which I have on tape. Then I asked them, I said, why don't you tell me how you write a song? And so he did. He said, he went into this complex thing about how he laid tracks. I said, Terry couldn't make this up. Sounds like he knows how he wrote his song. And then I said, could Terry sing one of your songs? And if you can imagine this, and this is on tape, Terry is singing, beat it, beat it, beat it. And that's about when I told Daphne was living in Alaska, and I started sending the audios to Daphne of these conversations. And the next day, Daphne is emailing me and saying, guess what? Michael's talking to me. And then there's these emails about how much he loves her and how much he'll be with her always. And now Daphne starts sending these transcriptions of these sessions with Michael to a friend of hers that has a fairly popular website. And in a few days, they're all over the world. Everybody's putting them up on their blogs, and they're in Japan. Now, now that I told you, you can go look on the internet, and you will find them, okay? I think it was very popular in Japan. There's a number of, just look up Daphne Michael Jackson, okay? And I'm thinking, oh, my God. I mean, at that point, very few people were paying attention to the fact that we were talking to the Elohim, and I said, this is going to ruin our reputation. No one's ever going to believe it. And then Daphne called me, and they said, Michael told me this story about how he knew us and that he was connected to us. And she went on to tell me that Michael was an entertainer in the court of Akhenaten and Nefertiti. And he had a crush on Nefertiti, and they had, can I tell them about your past life, Daphne? I'll tell them, yeah. That was in the past. He had an affair with Nefertiti, and Akhenaten was really PO'd, and he, according to what Michael said, castrated him. But In the channeling, Michael said that he forgave Akhenaten and that he was here to help us. Particularly, he wanted us to play music. He was really encouraging music. And so at that point, I started doing searches on the internet. Now, write this down. You're all going to want to do this search, okay? I said, Michael Jackson, Nefertiti, Michael Jackson, Akhenaten. And the first thing I found, and Michael Jackson, Egypt. The first thing I found was a bust from Egypt that they unearthed that was a spinning image of Michael Jackson. And you'll find that. Michael Jackson, Egypt, bust. Now, the next thing I found is what closed me. On YouTube, there was a music video of an old Michael Jackson song called Can You Remember the Time? Write that down and go look it up. Can You Remember the Time? And in that music video, Michael Jackson is serenading Akhenaten and Nefertiti. And he's making eyes at Nefertiti, and Akhenaten sends the troops after him, and he gets away. And that blew my mind. I remembered my song that I wrote about being a troubadour when I didn't know that I was a troubadour. And I said he did the same thing. And on that note, we're going to close this session. By the way, there's a workshop, if this caught your interest, it's called The Egyptian Connection. And you can get it at egypt.intelligent-infinity.com. And you can hear the full four-hour story of that. And I don't remember what else I put there, but it's fascinating. Some of you were there. And I see Carla Ruckert's on the line. We're going to say goodbye to everyone. Wait a second. Let me say goodbye to BBS Radio. And thank you all for listening on BBS. And we have a special thing we do with Carla on the phone lines. If any of you want to call in the phone line to participate, it's 559-726-1200 and 172-746. So you can cut us off from BBS, Don, if you're listening. You must be chomping at the bit because it's 1 minute before 7. And so I'll assume we're cut off. And last week, I stopped the tape recorder running now. And I got all these emails, people from Carla, who are listening to the replays and say, we want to hear Carla. So I'll let it run. And what we're going to do now is Carla had an unusual liaison with an angelic being named Rosie. And Carla and Rosie had collaborated and found out that there were a number of angelic beings. Now, these are not high, like Ra group, Elohim group beings. They're at lower levels. They're beings that are discarnate souls that didn't want to take a body, but they wanted to help. And that they were available to work with somebody, and that Rosie could be the intermediary. And so what happens is, some of you, if you'd like your own personal angel, we can fix you up in the next few minutes, okay? We'll be on for a half hour. We have room for 5 or 6 or 7 people, maybe. And Carly, why don't you go on and tell a little more about it?
All right. Well, these angels, I've come to find out, they're little ones, usually. They're beings that have been human. Excuse me, I'm having trouble with my voice tonight. And they have passed from this incarnation into larger life at some point. And they have made the choice to stay in the spirit realm and not to come back into reincarnation, because they wanted to serve directly rather than through being human. And it's very difficult to know that we're serving when you're human. But it's also because of the fact that we're in flesh and we can't feel it, and somebody will say, you're really helping me, and you still have doubts. Or you know that you're helping, but you feel unworthy anyway. There are lots of problems with serving within incarnation because you can't see the spirit world. But in Rosie's realm, I think it must be one of the middle metaphysical realms of this third density in a plane. But because of the fact that it's in and out, in time service. And so they have the great capacity to share that feeling of being loved, being loved within an inch of your life, being fully loved, feeling safe, and knowing that all is well. This is the essence of spirit. And when people touch into spirit, they become radiant with joy. You know, in the flesh, if they're able to come make a good contact with spirit, they come back from that and they're just glowing. And so there's a little soul that is waiting to be an angel to various people. Now, there is a problem with choosing to be a servant as an angel or as a disciple. And that is that people need to believe that you're there. And they need to ask for your presence, and they need to, you know, thank you for it, to develop a relationship, even if it's not much in words, but just to thank the angel that you get for being with you, for loving you, and giving you that patience for it. I didn't have that problem of belief because it happened to me in a seance. And this guy, his name is Reverend James Tingle, he probably passed from this realm a long time ago, as he was in his 60s when I knew him in the 70s. But he was incredible at producing entities, and sometime when we have more than half an hour, I can tell you the story of this man and how evidential our time with him were. But one of the things that happened, which never happens in a seance, especially a fake seance where they can't make it up, you know, they have to be able to be in a closet somewhere so they can run out in this dark room and cheat and fool everybody. Well, this didn't happen in the case of Tingley. Halfway through the seance, there was so much energy that entities started coming up out of the floor. So one of these entities was Rosie, and she ran around this big circle of chairs, there were 24 chairs, and came around to me and passed herself on my knee. She was a little thin, 4 or 5. And she said to me very clearly, out loud, "Can I be your angel? Will you let me be with you all the time? I love you, I love who you are, and I want to be with you." And I said, "Sure, Rosie, you can be my angel." Well, I've come to find out from giving angels to people that when these angels are talked to, sometimes they can talk back. And sometimes you can have great conversations with people. And I had a conversation today with Rosie just to make sure that she was okay with my doing it. And she said the only thing that would keep her from being able to do it is if I wasn't true and I wasn't totally in faith. And, of course, I believe. And so I need to be true and to focus on this process, and if necessary, to wait a little while she feels that we have found out enough about that person's vibration. It's not actually that you have to tell all about yourself to get an angel on this person. What you actually need to do more is just talk a little bit. Let the angels feel your vibration. They can feel the kind of person you are from your talking, not so much from what you said, as from your energy. They need to feel your energy. And, of course, across the miles, across the fiber network, you know, have nothing but your voice. So, and that's through my ears. So, you know, we have a bunch of angels that, as far as I can tell, none of these angels have had a human before. And they're really eager to have a human. But they're waiting to find a human that can tackle with so that they can really love that human to death, and just love them, love them, love them. And that's why you have to talk to them. So I'll turn it back over to Wynn, because I thought that it would be good to say a little bit about what spirit has to offer us for human beings.
Well, you know what, Carla, it seems to me, see if I have this correct, you know, imagine you're lonely and you're feeling depressed, and you walked into a room, and there were all these people in the room that they didn't have to worry about money for the rest of their lives. They didn't have to worry about anything. They could survive, and they came to that room to say, we want to help cheer up people that are depressed. And so you tell them a little bit about yourself, and one of them says, hey, I like him. I can connect with him. And suddenly they're assigned. And now you kind of have a friend. Now, of course, I'm making it like the physical body, but these are not physical. They're energy beings that had physical bodies, and they want to make a contribution. So what it's like is you're inviting them into your field, and it's totally free will. If you ask them to go away, they would go away. But you now have an energy in your field. And now you're going to think, is this real? Is Wynn making this up? Are those guys nuttier than they thought they were? Well, you know, like everything I do, I said, is this really Michael Jackson? You know, blah, 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 blah. I tend to look at it. I said, okay, I'll jump.
I'm not even as weird as Wynn, because before I started investigating the paranormal, I was at the library. There's nobody responsible for the librarian.
Right.
So, you know, I've kicked the tires, but there's no question in my mind that this is as real as anything else. I just finished watching a beautiful DVD on crop circles called What in the World, I think it's the name of it. Suzanne Taylor, the director, producer, a wonderful piece of work. And you just sometimes have to realize that there is more than heaven and earth and redemption in our philosophy, which is Hamlet to lay it, or Polonius to lay it. But in Hamlet, it's the play. But there is. There's so much more, and sometimes you can't prove it. I would not be surprised if we didn't have instruments delicate enough to sense small changes in vibration if we couldn't prove it. Once I was going to channel, and a nurse sat down beside me and said, can I check you out? And she put a pulse thing on my finger and one other piece of equipment on me where it didn't bother. And at the end of it, she said, your blood pressure went down and your pulse steadied. And the next instant, you started channeling. She said, when you finish channeling, in the next instant, your pulse became somewhat destabilized and your blood pressure rose. And I have those two problems. So, you know, that's a very gross way of proving that there are differences in energy depending on who's in your field. So I have a feeling that one thing needs to do is steady your field.
Carla. We only have like 21 minutes left. Is that right?
Yeah.
Carla will only be on for half an hour, and here we're taking 9 minutes of BSing. So I know there's people thinking, I hope they have time.
Shut up.
to get to me. Will you guys shut up? So, in any case, let me just see here. What I got to do is I got to unmute people, and that means I got to get to my master console, which is here.
Michael Waterville. Michael Waterville.
Okay. Michael?
Jim?
Yes, Waterville.
Wait, Michael, okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to mute you. And *6. *6 now, Michael. Hello, Michael. Are you there? *6. *6. We don't hear you yet, Michael. Hang on. I'll unmute everybody. Michael, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Were you not able to *6?
talk a moment, Michael.
Yes, it says unmuted.
Does it,
and
I'm
then what you do is, on your telephone, you hit...
Well, we just... wait a second. Wait. Michael, wait a second. Are you there, Michael?
Yes, I am.
We got you. Okay, so what you need to do is talk a little bit, maybe for a minute or two, so that our Angel Review Committee can look you over and figure out who is the right one for you.
Okay. It was a year ago this time, after I had a water main break and repaired that, and I was shaving early in the morning, and this young lady who told me, "I want you to hear me. I want you to hear and really hear me, and let me know." She had, in the image I saw, was a blonde-haired young lady, about 20, with a gray-blue dress, really very pretty, but most important was she put her arms around my neck and gave me a hug with a very deep feeling of I'm loved. And that lifted me for the rest of my week. And I thought to myself, wow, you can't help but feel love that way. And I was desired to find what happened to her. And could I have her...
Michael, what you got to do is say, why you want an angel? Why do you want an angel through this?
Oh, because I want an angel because sometimes when I'm driving, I need to know that there's someone there beside me. More so because I travel two or three dimensions at the same time, and I feel sometimes kind of alone at that point. You know. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Rosie says that Corinne has asked to be.
She would like to
be beside you and just ask for her and do that.
That was Corinne. Is that correct?
Corinne.
She had a lovely
Michael.
Name. Lovely
Thank
name.
You, Michael. Let me know. I like to keep track of this. One day I'm going to tell you guys we're going to do a report about Carla's angels, okay? We're going to hear all the people that have had results, okay? And maybe we'll get a TV. Who is that?
Jim from South Dakota.
Okay, Jim, go ahead. Why do you want an angel?
I have six angels, four on my right shoulder and two on my left shoulder, and I'd like to communicate with them if I could.
Now, I don't know if that works
that.
Here.
I can't do that.
This is a new angel.
I'm sorry.
I'd like an angel to communicate with something.
I think mostly they're just feeling rather than communication.
Yeah. I've
known people that can communicate with them. One lady said who's never stopped talking, but I think her heart was totally in ascendancy with her personality.
Mm-hmm.
And, rather than her intellect doesn't help with angels.
Well, then I just need an angel to talk to, then.
Okay. And your name is Michael?
Jim, sorry.
I don't say Jim. All right, Rosie, do you have an angel for Jim?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an angel? Jim, there's a little girl that... Mary, I don't think she's about 7 years old in the way she looked, but how she was when she died. Of course, she's spirit now, so she's aged. And she says she'd love to be with you, and if you'd like to talk with her, she'd love to talk with you.
Very good. What was her name again?
Listen until the cows. Her name is Mary.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're very
good. You have to call on her, Jim.
I'll do that.
Mary, are you there? And see when you say, Mary, are you there? If you notice a little lift in your spirits, and you'll probably know you made a connection.
Super.
Rather than listening, just feel.
Very good.
Feel.
Feel. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Star 6.
Hello?
Hello,
hi.
Mary. Who is that lady on the line?
Mountain Grove.
We have Don in Mountain. Wait a second. We have Don in Mountain Grove, right?
No, Ron.
Oh, Ron.
Yeah.
In Mountain Grove?
Right.
That's not Ron who I know, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Ron. Mountain Grove. Okay, and who is that lady in there?
Hi, it's Allie in Orlando.
Allie in Orlando?
Yes. Hi, Wynn. Hi, Carla.
Hi, Allie. Now, just wait a second. Ron is first. You're second. And do we have
Linda
someone else?
Linda in Charleston.
Linda in Charleston.
South Carolina.
You got Charleston, South Carolina, right?
Yes. Yes.
And you guys got to be fast. You got to get your finger on that star 6 and be ready next time if you're feeling left out this time. This is one of those things where
first come,
first serve. And, you know, I told Carla, we could make a mint. We should do a workshop and just give angels to people and charge them. And she said, no, I don't want to do that. It doesn't work that way. And so we're just throwing it in as a little bonus at the end of these calls. And I'm sure at some point the demand is going to overwhelm the supply. So take advantage of it now. And we have Ron, Ali, and Linda, and we have 11 minutes. Do we have one more person there? Star 6.
Joel in Chicago.
Joyce in San Diego.
Okay, Joyce, I don't know if we'll get to you. We'll try. Joel in Chicago is in. And Joyce, if you remember, we're going to do this again on Wednesday. You show up right at the beginning, and we'll put you first, okay? So let's do Ron.
We might get to you. Ron, okay.
Okay. Ron, can you hear me?
We hear you.
Okay. I became acquainted with the Henry Case work back when I was 16 years old. I'm 69 years old now, and I have pursued this search all my life. It was such a relief and a joy when I discovered the work of David Wilcock and Wynn and Terry and Daphne. But I have absolutely nobody in this material world that I can talk to. I have probably 100 friends and acquaintances and family, and none of them want to hear anything about this work. So I just feel very, very lonely.
Well, you don't have to say anything more because Rosie, very quick this time, because Connie is dying to be with you. She just loves you, and she wants to be with you. Just ask for her, and she will be there.
Connie.
That was Connie.
Connie
and okay. Ron.
You may not be able to talk. You may not be able to talk to her, Ron, but you might just feel this warm, fuzzy feeling.
No, you can talk to her.
Can she?
She might not be able to answer. She wants you to talk to her.
Oh, I see.
She tells everything.
She will hear.
And whenever you think something, she says she wants you to tell her about it, and she'll do her best to share.
I understand. Great. Thank you very much,
Ron. We love you.
We love you,
and
too.
Next one we have. That was no hesitation there, was there?
No, Connie was just jumping on that. Then she found out that you had nobody to talk to and you were for a lifetime. She said, I got to do it.
Now, Allie in Orlando, is that right?
Yes, hi, Wynn.
Hi. Allie, why do you want an angel?
I'm sort of in the same boat as Ron. I've been studying this material and reading the Law of One, starting to get into it, and listening to your called for almost a year now, and there's really nobody I have to listen or discuss this with, and so it's kind of isolating. It would be nice to have a little moral support from an angel.
Rosie was very quick with this one, too. A fellow named Eddie came forward. He's a little tyke in this life, but, of course, with spirit, he's able to, he knows all the things. He says, please talk to him.
Eddie?
And,
Eddie.
Oh, that's great.
To let you know he's there.
Well, that's great. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Carla. Thank you, Wynn.
You're welcome. And is Joel there?
Yes, I'm here.
Now, Joel, what do you want an angel for?
Well, it is really just to help with discernment. I've had some people that I work with. I deal in fraud, waste, and abuse. And I'm kind of a nice guy, and I've had people take advantage of me, you know, take money and move out of the city in the middle of the night. And, you know, so it's a little difficult to deal sometimes with discernment when it comes to people's honesty and trying to trust people, because I've seen so much fraud that it's just, I have a little difficulty with that sometimes.
What do you think, Carla? Can an angel help with that?
Rosie hasn't given me a ring yet. I have. Rosie, who wants to be with? What's your name again?
Joel.
Who wants to be with Joel? Okay. And it's the same name. That's why I was having trouble. It's the same name as Rosie. This is a little girl named Rosie, and she says you can definitely trust her. So you just hang on her, and she will never let you down.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Carla.
Right.
I've gone through the books 1 through 5. It's extraordinary.
Thank you. And do we have Joyce there?
We have Linda still, Wynn.
Yeah, I'm still waiting.
Oh, Linda. Linda, excuse me. I skipped you, Linda. And wait a second. Wait a second, Joyce. Linda in Charleston. Thank you, Hayes. I'm glad you're helping here.
Thank you. I don't know what to say other than I've always known since I was a child that there was more to this world than we could see or what we were taught conventionally about our existence and our future existence. And I'm getting older. I'm a great-grandmother now, the latter years of my life, and I'm in a lot of pain. And sometimes I feel like I'm a prisoner of that pain, and I need someone to talk to.
Excuse me. Your angel's name is Kay. And Kay says she would love to be with you. In pain or not in pain, it doesn't matter. She'll be with you if they can stand.
Tell her thank you, and I appreciate it, Carla, and a win for me, too.
I hope you really, really enjoy.
Thank you.
Linda, let me know how it works, okay?
I will.
Thank you so much for being one of our listeners, okay? It's a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
You know, there's a lot of people that are in the background that are listening that I never
get. I've been listening to you for about a year now. For some reason, I went searching for information on Edgar Cayce, and I ended up finding the book that you wrote with David Wilcock, and bought it and read it, and I read one of David's other books that he wrote, and then I've been listening to your show, and I find it very, very interesting, and it answers a lot of questions I've had all my life.
Well, if you come in early, I'm going to tell Hayes to give you a very special big greeting when you show up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you feel like you're known, okay? You're not anonymous, okay?
Thank you.
All right. And now, Joyce, are you
good
there?
Good evening. Good evening, Wynn and Carla. And I feel so blessed. I'm so fortunate. I have all the angels I need, but I love learning and reading and hearing about me. Angels and listening to other people's stories. And I would just like to recommend a book that really helped me a lot, Angels in My Hair by Irish Mystic, Lorna Byrne to all your listeners. I think they'll find the book delightful and helpful. And thank you, Carla, for your work tonight. It's so important.
Is Lorna in Canada?
She lives in Ireland.
In rural Ireland.
Excuse me. Yeah. She's an Irish mystic.
Excuse me for interrupting, Carla. Go ahead, Nick.
Not at all. I was just thanking her.
Okay. So you don't need an angel. Good.
I am in the company of wonderful angels and guides, yes.
Somebody said I didn't need an angel either. They said, I've got my hands full with angels around me. Okay. Of course. Okay, Carla, it's 8:28. Should we call it a day?
One more?
Do we have another one there?
Press star 6.
Anyone? Star 6, if you want an angel.
Hello? You know, Earth Angel is on my mind tonight. You know that song, that old song?
Earth Angel,
can you hear?
I keep thinking, I got a date with an angel.
Is there one more person?
I think
we're really being serious about this, Rosie. I swear to heaven, don't leave.
Is Leslie there? Do we have a Leslie on the line?
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Yes.
Is that Leslie? Leslie, yes. did you want an angel?
Yes. I was thinking of writing you, but I didn't, so I don't know if I'm the one you're thinking.
Now, when I said you wanted did somebody want an angel, why didn't you speak up?
Why?
Were you shy?
Well, I did. I think I was muted, but I was gonna.
Oh, okay.
I thought I ran out of time, but I was gonna.
Oh, no, okay. We got time for one more. We got 1 minute. How come you want an angel?
I'm looking for work right now, kind of unexpectedly, and so kind of would like to find something that is suited to me, not just temporary work and something that I don't like. I'm working on several things, but, you know, so I could probably use a lot of help, and I know that I do have help, but I would like a special angel to help me find work that's good for me.
You know what? I don't know if an angel will help you find work, but...
No.
Excuse me, Carla. But what they will do is cheer you up so you look more desirous.
Yeah, I think that, like, a joy guide.
Yeah, you just need to be cheered up. The more cheerier you are, the more people want to hire you, okay? So that's where I think one of these angels can help. They can help cheer you up.
Okay.
You have to do the work, and you just say, okay, I'm ready, cheer me up. Are you there? Is that what you're going to say, Carla?
Yeah.
Good. See, Carla and I have become...
Rosie. Yes, we're asleep in each other's minds for a while now. I dream about it. Okay, Rosie. Oh, it's a little boy named Stan, and he says, I'm old enough to be called Stan, but most people call me Stanny in life. And he was a little. But he says he would love to be beside you, and whether you get a job or not, he'll try to get you to.
Okay. Great. What was his name?
I was channeling it. What was it?
Sam, right?
Sam?
Yeah. Sam or Sammy? He says he's old enough to be called Sam. Apparently, before he died, in this life, most people called him Sammy. So he would answer.
Wait a second. Wait a second. I'm still not getting a Sammy or Stanley.
S-T-A-N, and as a you know, the way people call little kids, they called him Stanny.
Stanny.
So he was standing there, you know, about 5 years old, saying, I'm old enough to be called Stan, but you can call me Stanny if you want.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Okay. So we're going to end this. Thank you all for listening in, and we'll see you all Wednesday with your questions. And that's it. Okay, I'm going to unmute everybody. And
God bless everybody.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thanks, Carla.
Thank you, Carla.
Good night, everyone.